The following essay was originally aired in 2002. You're listening to The Natural World. I'm John Cooney. Journal entry, April 10th, 7 a.m. Cottonwood Spring Oasis, Joshua Tree National Park. A pair of white-winged doves bursts from the shaded fan palm oasis into the crisp morning air as I hike onto the shaded canyon floor. A thin layer of moisture drifts high above the thirsty desert hardpan, moderating morning temperatures but auguring no relief from the drought. To the east, the clouds break up into scalloped patterns, diffusing low-angled sunlight as it peaks over mountains of exposed, billion-year-old Precambrian rock. It has been more than a year since the last significant rains fell here. Only a third of an inch has fallen since the beginning of this winter's rainy season. With an average annual rainfall of only 4 inches, this northwestern edge of the Sonoran Desert is among the driest areas in all of North America. It is unlikely that revitalizing rains will fall here again before next winter. Away from the oasis, vegetation is varied but extremely sparse. The desert floor is made up of crumbly, decomposed yellow-brown granite sand. It is flaky and angular, but supportive and crunchy underfoot. For miles in every direction, the daytime desert is quiet, apart from the occasional song of true desert birds like tiny yellow-headed verdins, shiny black tufted phainopeplas, and black-throated sparrows. Most of the desert creatures, while superbly adapted to this unique environment, endure the additional stresses of prolonged drought in patient silence. The normally succulent pads of beavertail cactus are shriveled and wrinkled and seemingly dead. The spiny, gangling branches of ocotillo have failed to produce any spring leaves, but amazingly are putting out fiery orange-red blossoms at their tip. Predictably, hummingbirds have arrived in numbers to harvest their sweet, moist, nourishing nectar. Cottonwood Spring lies in the southernmost section of Joshua Tree National Monument. An uplifted layer of hard, impermeable rock has forced underground water onto the surface. In an otherwise hot and meager setting, the fan palm oasis offers abundant shade, comfort, and food. The Kaweah people exploited this lush refuge for centuries. All that remains of their occupation are buried shards of pottery and a few mortars ground into bedrock granite used for crushing the fruits of palm and mesquite. The desert fan palm is found from Death Valley south into Baja California Norte and east into extreme southern Nevada and western Arizona. In elevation, they range from below sea level to nearly 4,000 feet here at Joshua Tree National Park. These trees can be found only at springs where water is at or near the surface. The green crown and dead fan-shaped leaves hanging against the brown trunk distinguish it from all other plants. Fan palms can live for 80 to 90 years and grow to 75 feet. They are among the tallest and by far the bulkiest of North American palms. The cool shade of the oasis provides habitat for animals that live nowhere else. Western yellow bats roost only beneath the protective crowns of these palms. Bright yellow and black hooded orioles rustle through the skirts of dried palm leaves above me. Shiny blue-black carpenter bees obsessively pursue mates in the shaded canyon. These remarkably bulky insects lay their eggs inside the empty exit tunnels of the giant palm boring beetle. At nearly 2 inches in length, these beetles are truly giants, with huge heads and powerful jaws. They were unknown to science until 1886, when naturalist William G. Wright collected them. Wright claimed he had obtained his beetles in the Mojave Desert, but refused to divulge their precise location. This may have had something to do with the fact that European museums were paying up to $1,000 a pair for these insect curiosities. In a sunny patch at the bottom of the wash, a side-blotched lizard retreats to the base of a creosote bush where it disappears artfully against the grainy desert soil. A pair of migrating common loons flies by vigorously high overhead. For loons, the desert is a hostile ocean. They are physically unable to take off from land. join the Freshwater Trust for an Earth Week event in celebration of rivers and streams on Friday, April 17th from 6:30 to 10 p.m. at the LaSalle Stewart Center at Oregon State University in Corvallis. The event, titled Under One Sky, Along One Stream, will feature speakers, a movie, a documentary, a book signing, a slideshow, and musical performances. There's a small suggested donation requested at the door. If you have sightings or events you would like to report or suggestions of areas you would like to see profiled, you can send me email at John Cooney, that's John with an H, C-O-O-N-E-Y, at msn.com.